And so I thought that I would find a Bible passage about football and preach on that today. The only problem is I couldn't find any. So if any of you know of a Bible passage that talks about football, come let me know what it is afterwards. The Bible does speak about some sports, though. Did you know baseball's in the Bible? The very first verse in the Bible talks about baseball. It starts out with, in the big inning. Ahora, disculpe a todos los que no hablan inglés, porque esta broma no se traduce al español. So I just was speaking in tongues for a second. I was just translating. Sorry to all of our Spanish speakers because that joke doesn't translate into Spanish. There are some sports, though, in the Bible. There's wrestling. Paul talks about wrestling in Ephesians. He talks about boxing in the book of 1 Corinthians. But one of the most common ones, sports that are mentioned, is running, races. And we read that verse that we saw in Hebrews 12 earlier. And so open your Bibles up, please, to the book of Hebrews. No, we're not looking at Philippians today. The book of Acts. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at the race that we're all in. We are all in a race. And we're going to look at what the race is. We're going to look at how to get into that race. And we're going to look at how can we run that race. So let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to be here this morning to worship you. We thank you so much for the privilege that you've given us to run in this race. And we ask that you'd help us to all run this race with endurance and to look, keep our eyes on you. And help us to take what we learned today and apply it to our lives. And help us to grow to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So once again, Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So what is this race that we're talking about? First of all, this race, the word race, comes from the Greek word agon. Now, does anybody know what word in English comes from this word here, agon? Agony, that's right. So this race is agony. How many of you are looking forward to running this race? Ooh, agony. This is not a sprint. This is a long race. It's a marathon. This is from the time we know Christ until Christ returns or until our death. This is a long race, and it's a painful race. This is also, the race is the Christian life. That's what this race is. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that's what the Christian life is, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, if you're not in this race, you're going to still have some pain and suffering. And the worst part is, you don't have the hope that we have as Christians. So this is the Christian life, and this is striving to become more like Christ and striving to please him. That's what this race is about. How many of you would like to be completely like Jesus? Isn't that be great? No more arguments with your spouse. No more problems or sinful problems at work. You're still going to have problems. Jesus was perfect. Did he have problems still? Yes, but he was able to respond perfectly to those. We would all like to do that. That's what this race is about. It's becoming more like Christ. Some of you are new into this race. Some of you have less than a year of being in this race. But I imagine if you look at your life right now and compare it to where you were this time last year, that you'll be able to see a difference. You'll be able to see how God has changed you to be more like Christ. But guess what? It's just starting. You still have your whole life to live. Then there's others here that have been in this race for 70 years, maybe even 80 years, maybe even longer. But guess what? Your race is not over yet. We are all in this race, and the goal is to become like Christ and to please him. So are you in the race? Are you in the race? Well, how do you get into the race? Well, in
says in verse 1 there, it says the race set before us. Who sets the race before us? It's God who puts this race before us. This is God's race. And so how do we get in this race? First of all, we must be on God's team. What does that mean, to be on God's team? That means we must be in part of God's family. We must have our sins forgiven in order to be on God's team. The problem is that we are all born as God's enemies. Look what it says here in Colossians 1:21. You who were once enemies, his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. We are all born as God's enemies. Now some of you might be thinking, wait a second. You know I'm not perfect, but I'm not God's enemy. What this verse is saying is because of our evil thoughts and actions, our sinful thoughts and actions, we are God's enemies. We are all born into this world as enemies of God. Yet we think, I'm not that bad of a person. But who are we judging ourselves according to? Are we comparing ourselves to other people, or are we comparing ourselves to Christ? God's standards are way up here. They're perfection. And not one of us can get close to that. And because of that, every time we sin, every time we do something that breaks one of God's commands, you know what we're doing? We're rebelling against God. We're opposing him. And so every time we sin, we're being enemies of God. So each one of us are born into this world as God's enemies. And not one of us can meet up to his standards. But you know what? God knew that. God knew that not one of us would be able to do that. So what did he do? He sent Jesus. Jesus died for us. Look what it says in Romans 5, 8, and 10. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Isn't that amazing? We're over here as God's enemies. God is over here. And what does he do to build that bridge and to bring us to him? He sends his son to die for him. Now, how many of you here have people, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have enemies in life? Or maybe they're not enemies, they're just people that rub you the wrong way and they just annoy you. Do we all have those kind of people in life? Would you be willing to give the life of one of your loved ones to save that person? Jesus came down to die for his enemies, us. Wow, he died for me, and I was the enemy of God. What love did God have for us that he would do that? That's just so amazing that he would love us, his enemies, so much that he would send Jesus to die for us. So, what do I need to do to have my sins forgiven and to be part of God's team, to be part of God's family? Well, first of all, it's not by what I do. It's not by obeying God's laws, because I can't. I can't do it enough. Romans 3:20 says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So what's the purpose of the law? It's to show us that we're sinful, that we can't match up to God's standards. That's why God gave it to us. He didn't give it to us expecting that we were going to keep it all, because we can't. He gave it to us to show us how low we are compared to God's standards. So the next thing is by placing my faith in Christ. Same chapter, verses 22 and 25 say, for we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So we're not saved by what we do. We're not put into this family of God by what we do. We don't have forgiveness of sins by obeying the law, because we can't. It's by recognizing how sinful and wicked we are and putting our trust in what Jesus did. That's the only way that you can be part of God's team, is by trusting in what Jesus did. That's the only way you can have your sins forgiven. If you're trusting in what you do, You can't do enough and you're lost. It's by trusting in what Jesus did. So, are you in the race? Are you 100% sure that if you were to die right now, that you would be in heaven with God? Are you sure that you have your sins forgiven? It's not by what we do. It's by what Jesus did and by putting our trust in him. So, how do we run this race? Let's look at verse 1 again of Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The first point is, look at the witnesses. Who are these witnesses here? Let's look at the very first word here that says, therefore. What does the therefore mean? The therefore, you take what comes afterwards, these great cloud of witnesses, and it's a connection of what comes before this. Who knows what comes in chapter 11? Hall of Faith. It gives a list of a whole bunch of examples from the Old Testament. It says, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith, and it lists a bunch of people from the Old Testament. They are the witnesses. And so it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, does that mean that they're like up in heaven looking down? Because when I think of surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, like in the Super Bowl. This is a live picture, by the way. I'm just kidding. People aren't there yet. But this is from a couple years ago. But how many people are going to be at the Super Bowl? I don't know, 80,000? Then how many people are going to be watching the game on TV? Like 200 million people are going to be watching this. Everybody's around. They're watching these players on the field play. Is that what these witnesses are doing? Are they up in heaven looking down on earth, watching how we run the race? Is that what they're doing? No, I don't think so. I think it's different. They're not there watching us. They're there so that we can watch them. We can see their example and follow it. Here's several of the people, not all of them, but a couple of the people that are in Hebrews chapter 11. And I just, because of time, just going to talk about Rahab. What did Rahab do? Well, if you're not familiar with the story in the Old Testament, Rahab took, she lived in the city of Jericho, and she took some Jewish spies and hid them on the roof. And when they came looking for them, she had them hidden and they couldn't find them. And she was trusting in God. By faith, she did that. And then they left, and then the Jews came. God told Joshua and the Jews to go march around the city of Jericho for 7 days. So they marched around the city of Jericho for 7 days. They came to destroy Jericho. What a way to destroy the city, by marching around the city 7 days in a row, right? But that's what they did. They obeyed because that's what God told them to do. So after the seventh day of marching around, guess what happened? All the walls fell down, except for one little part of the wall. You know which part? Rahab's house. Rahab trusted God. The Jews and Joshua trusted God. They were looking to God and obeying God. They are our examples to follow. And as we look through all the stories of the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are our examples to follow. And so we should look to these stories in the Bible as examples and follow their example in life as we run the race. So to run the race effectively, we need to watch how others do it. Look at the examples of the Bible. But are they our heroes? Is Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, all those people in Hebrews 11 the hero? No. They were just faithful. They trusted God. They put their faith in God. And they were obedient. But who's the hero of the story of Jericho? God is. Who's the one that took the walls out? God is. These examples are to point us to God, to look to God, to look to Christ in the race. So the first thing is that we do, how do we run the race? Is look at the witnesses. The second thing is lay aside the weights. Look what it says here in verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. How many of you in here have ever run a marathon before? Anybody? Okay, there's quite a few of you. Would you guys run, those of you that have run in a marathon, would you run like this guy in a marathon? Would you do that? Why not? By the way, for the translation, no. The answer is no. Why not? It's hard enough without the weight, but this weight makes it almost impossible to run. We would not run a marathon like that. Instead, how do you dress for a marathon? You take off everything. You wear a light t-shirt, light shorts. You want to wear something that's not wind resistant, and you're going to wear light, comfortable shoes so that you can run the race effectively. I remember back when I was in high school, I had some friends on the swimming team. They would do all of their events, but before the big event of the year, they would shave their entire bodies. They would shave their chest, their back, their legs, their arms, everything they would shave. Some would shave their heads, but others would just wear something over their head. Why? Because even those little hairs on your arms are going to keep you from swimming as fast as you need to swim in order to win the meet. And we, the same way in our Christian life, we need to get rid of everything that is going to slow us down in keeping running the race the way we should. Well, what are the weights? And what's the difference between the weights and the sin? I believe that the weights are things that are not necessarily sinful, but they keep us from running the race the way we could. And then the sins that cling to us, those are the sins, I believe, that we do, and then we just try to stop, and we like, I gotta quit this, but we just keep doing it over and over again. Any of you like that with like me? You got this sin in your life, and it just, you say, I gotta quit that, and then you do find yourself doing it again and again. It's the sin that clings to us. And what does it say? We need to lay aside those sins and the weights. What are the weights? Some example are technology. I'll put all these up here. Technology, TV, entertainment. What about this? Is this a weight? It's not very heavy, but how much does this control us? I know that this can be a weight for me. Is this sinful? But can I use it sinfully? Is a TV sinful? Is social media sinful? Is work sinful? Are sports sinful? No, they're not sinful, but you know what? They can keep us from running effectively. They can become sin when they take the place of God in our lives. When that becomes what our motive is for living, and that's our goal. We're living for that instead of running the Christian life to become more like Christ. What are the weights in your life? Can you recognize one? What are your weights? Now, I'm not waiting for you to answer out loud, but we should all be thinking about that. What are the things that keep me from running the race effectively? The second thing is, what is the sin that clings to us? Can you think of that sin that just keeps coming back, that you want to get rid of, it just keeps coming back? Can you identify what that is in your life? For some people, it might be anger, explosions of anger. For other people, it might be worrying. For others, it might be pornography. Whatever it is, we need to put off those things. It says lay aside the weight and the sin. But you might say, but Brian, I've tried. And in the right, we even talked about, it says right here that it clings to us. I can't. Well, we're going to talk about in just a little bit what we can do to help to lay aside those weights in the sin that clings to us. But if our goal is to become like Christ, we have to be willing to set those things aside. So let's review again. What's the first thing? How do we run this race? We look where? At the witnesses. Second, we lay aside the weights and the sin. And the third thing that we're going to look at is let us run with endurance. Run with endurance. It says that same thing right there in Hebrews 12:1. Life is hard, isn't it? For how many of you, life is really easy? Oh, God, got one hand raised up. Great. Life is hard. And if it's easy for you right now, the hard part's coming. For some of you, you've had several family members pass away this past year. Others of you are going through family problems, whether it's within your marriage, with your kids, with whatever, people are going through problems. Maybe it's at work. Others have financial issues, wondering how you're going to get your bills paid. For some of us, these trials are come from the weight and the sin that cling to us. Life is hard. But what are we supposed to do? Keep on moving forward. Keep going. That's hard, isn't it? Aren't there times we just want to, oh, I give up. I can't do this anymore. Have you ever thought, oh, I want just one out of this marriage. I can't do this anymore. Or maybe I want to get out of this job. I'm just going to quit my job. I think that every day. I'm just kidding. But we got to just keep going. Why? Let's look in James 1 real quick. It says in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Yes, got a trial today. It says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance. And let the steadfastness or endurance have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. As we continue on, even when it's difficult, God is